Greetings, friends. This is Dr. Mark Sharona, and I want to welcome you to The Edge podcast, where all things theological, psychological, spiritual, and cultural will be explored so that you and I might understand the times and know what to do about them. Enjoy. Friends, I'm delighted today to have with me a precious man of God, someone I consider a dear friend. Kong He has been involved for decades in Singapore. City Harvest Church is a church that he founded that has thousands of believers, and they have been a center for the move of the Spirit in so many ways, a vanguard company that have established parameters in which we can come to terms with how many ways the Spirit wants to break into the life we live and the culture we impact and the ways in which we do what we're called to do to share the love of Jesus. So, Kong, I'm delighted that you're with us.
Thank you, Bishop. It's a tremendous privilege to catch up with you again. I think the last time we met face-to-face was quite a number of years ago.
Yeah, in Pasadena.
In the last decade, we have gone through some challenging times in our ministry, but we are so grateful for your love, your support, your prophetic words that are given to me, to my church, again and again. So we are so appreciative. Thank you, Bishop.
Well, I love you dearly, my brother, and your family. Pastor Kong, when you look like in academic circles, there's no question in theological circles that there's much talk about the fact that the Pentecostals are really spearheading the major thrust of the spread of the gospel globally, and the center of gravity has shifted to the global south, which includes Asia, Southeast Asia, where you are. When you think about that and think about your involvement in Asia, what are some of the things you're seeing that just get your juices going and make you feel like, wow, look at what God's doing? Just talk a little bit about that.
I think you're absolutely right, Bishop. I think the last 100 years, truly, the last century was indeed the century of the Holy Spirit. And we have seen in country after country, from Southeast Asia to Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, to China, you know, where 50 years ago, there's not a single foreign missionary in the country, to India, with 1.2 billion people. And if you look at the masses here, it's unimaginable. Just five countries in Asia, you have more than half the population of the world.
Yeah.
China, India, Indonesia, Bangladesh, and I believe it's Pakistan, just five countries. But yet, daily, we are seeing tens of thousands of people coming to Christ every single day, all throughout Asia. It is amazing. And you have to stand back and just know that the Holy Spirit is doing something. And through the Pentecostal movement that started in Azusa Street.
Yeah.
You know, and you find that it's the Pentecostal churches in China that is bringing souls to Christ. It's the Pentecostal churches in Indonesia, the Pentecostal churches in India, in the Philippines. And really, it's a massive move of the Holy Spirit that's bringing people into the kingdom of God.
When the Lord apprehended you, talk a little bit about when God got a hold of Kong He and how that all that took place. Just talk a little bit about that.
You know, I was just a little boy, grew up in a very Confucianist family, a very traditional Chinese idol worshiping family. And I got touched by the Lord when in 1975, when I was just an 11-year-old boy. Someone shared with me the gospel, my cousin actually. He came back from a charismatic renewal seminar in town. He was touched by the Holy Spirit. And so here was my cousin, a few years older than me, and I was 11 years old, just not yet into my teenage years. He shared with me the goodness of Jesus. immediately I gave my heart to the Lord. And then a few days later, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And my whole life changed. Shortly after that, I stumbled into a small little conference in just maybe a mile from my house. I happened to be during my summer vacation, and I was cycling. I noticed a lot of people congregating at a small little hotel. And I didn't know what it was. I was just curious and nothing to do, right? So I went to the hotel and joined the crowd. And I didn't know that it was actually a Pentecostal conference, one of the earliest kind in my part of the world. And there was a man, I don't know if you heard of him before, an elderly man that came, and his name was Dr. David Duplessis.
Oh, yes, Mr. Pentecost.
Also known as Mr. Pentecost. I'm getting goosebumps just telling you about it. I was 11 years old. I gate crashed into that meeting. Only about 300 people were there. And I didn't know all these people, right? Only years later, I realized there was a pastor there by the name of David Yonggi Cho. And he was in that conference listening to Dr. David Duplessis. It was at the same conference where Benny Hinn received his calling. In that conference was a man that was soon to explode on American gospel TV. His name is Gene Baker. And there I was, 11 years old, in a meeting. I mean, I was a new convert. And out came Dr. David Duplessis. And he shared about his adventure with God, with the Holy Spirit. And he said, how many of you wants to receive a touch from the Lord? And I put up my hands. I was sitting on the floor in the front. And he said, here's the Holy Spirit, just receive it. You know, there was no hype. There was no screaming, no shouting. And I kid you not, Bishop, I felt like a mighty wind hit me. I almost fell over. And I never, at that point in time, I didn't even know what is being slain in the spirit. I was almost knocked over. And from that day, my life completely changed. From that day, everything changed for me. I felt the presence of God. I experienced the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that has stayed with me until today.
And you have, I mean, over the years, you ended up developing quite a relationship with Dr. Cho.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, in 1982, Dr. Cho came to Singapore for a big conference, and I was just the altar worker there. But for 5 days, I was looking after a man that was paralyzed from his neck down. The family brought him from Indonesia, flew him to Singapore, and he came to the stadium searching for a miracle, seeking God for a miracle. For 5 days, I was assigned to carry him out of his van, put him on his wheelchair, and wheel him all the way to the stadium. On the fifth day, he stood up and walked up hundreds of steps up the stadium to the podium and shared his testimony. My life was totally transformed. So I fell in love with the ministry of Dr. Cho. I read many of his books. And, and just being discipled by him from a distance. And of course, it would be many, many years later. In 2004, I was in Taiwan for a conference. Dr. Cho was the main speaker. I was the second speaker. And then during a time of fellowship, he came to me and said, Kong, he said, you know, God has connected our lives together. Don't look for me, but when the time is right, I'll come looking for you.
Wow.
So, you know, there's we Chinese people, Asian people, we have a saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will show up.
Appears.
Yeah. So 2004, right? And then the next year I received a letter from Dr. Cho's office, and he said, will you please come up to Korea? And my wife and I flew up there. And from then on, he accepted me as part of his family. Considered me as his spiritual son, and we have a relationship ever since then.
That's wonderful. when I was in Bible college back in the days back in Brooklyn, Malcolm Smith was the pastor, Floyd Nicholson was the associate pastor, and we were part of a fellowship of Christian assemblies, and one of the members of that fellowship was Jack Holm. And Jack was on Dr. Cho's staff. And Jack would come every year in the 70s and bring someone from Dr. Cho's church that had an amazing testimony. And I mean, Jack befriended me. I would have never traveled had Jack not pushed me out of the nest years and years ago. But Jack learned, and Jack's in heaven now, but Jack learned faith from just being around Dr. Cho.
Yeah.
Talk to me about free, and you know, I have always admired you at a distance. I mean, I've got many of your teachings over the years. I've just deeply impacted by your faithfulness to the scriptures. Talk to me a little bit, especially in a day when I think we need hope and we need faith and we need confidence for the future. Talk to me a little bit about how you see faith and hope being cultivated or needing to be cultivated even now in the midst of a global pandemic.
I think more than ever before, Bishop, that faith, hope, and love, the three greatest things, of course, the greatest is love. Those three virtues, we need to preach it more than ever before. I think, you know, all around the world, people are going through changes. It's the same in the US, it's the same in Asia, it's the same in Singapore, in my home city. But there's one thing that stays true and is unshakable, and that is the word of God.
Yeah.
And when I look at the book of Acts, and every once in a while, I go back and do a book study on the Acts of the Apostles all over again and go through verse by verse, I cannot help but to see that when you look in the book of Acts, you find that as the disciples, as the followers of Jesus Christ, get into sound doctrine, get into the word of God. And that is why, Bishop, what you're doing is so important. We cannot put aside theology. We cannot put aside true doctrine, sound doctrine of the gospel. And when they get into the word of God, revival will break forth. In fact, you find that by the time you come to Acts chapter 9, the church was growing so much, the membership was exploding, but yet the Bible describes it as the word was growing, as the word grew, you know? And so I feel that more than ever before in these uncertain times, we got to be anchored into sound doctrine. We got to be anchored into the word of God. And if there's any time in history where we need to preach faith, we need to preach hope, we need to preach love, it is now.
Yeah, and so when, now you have talked in times past about your call to Asia. So you just mentioned all the five major pieces of the Asian puzzle. Talk a little bit in light of, now we probably both know Dennis Balcom.
Yes.
You know, and Violet Keitley was a mom to me in the gospel, so I knew Dennis through Violet. But as you look at China right now, in light of all that's going on, what are the things we need to know about the church in China that we may not fully know? You talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think you got to know, first of all, is that the Chinese church in the last 50 years have gone through a whole cycle. It started with very severe persecution. And then Dennis Balcom was possibly the first foreign missionary allowed into that country when they first opened up a small little crack. So he has done an amazing job. And the Holy Spirit has swept through the whole country and literally millions of people. You have various statistics, some as high as 100 million people. I know I spoke to the Operation World, and I believe Patrick Johnston, that's his name, if I remember, he's pretty certain it's about 100 million people. But let's say, but But let's say if I think the realistic figure is somewhere between 30 to 50 million people right now, which is still a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. 50 to 100 million people. And a few years ago, the missiologists did a study at the rate of growth. They think that by the year 2050, there could be more born-again, spirit-filled Christians in China than maybe in the United States, than all the population of the United States. Because we're talking about 300 million Chinese spirit-filled, born-again believers. But what has happened is that I think China has awakened to the fact that people are coming to Christ. And so there's a fresh wave of persecution going on right now. It started maybe about 3-4 years ago. And situation is really, really very tight in China. So we got to really pray for the church in China.
Yeah.
So that aside, the thing you need to know, that the West needs to know, is that apart from the tremendous growth, is that possibly the greatest need right now is the need for the teaching of the word. I think the teaching of the word never gets old. It never gets out of fashion. And just when you think that you know everything, there's always more to learn. And the Chinese church is not a baby church. They've gone through sufferings, they've gone through hardship, and they're still faithful to the faith and to the gospel. But they need now to grow more into Christ-likeness. They need to go on to the next level. Their theology, their doctrine got to be deeper. And that is why I'm so excited what you're doing, Bishop. Because what you're doing in wanting to bring Pentecostal theology, I think that is so needed in Asia. If you just allow me just to say a little bit more, I think all around the world, Pentecostals are known as doers. We are great at doing, but when it comes to theology, we are not so deep in theology. Because we don't have time. Because we are so busy building the church, growing the church, doing missiology, and when it comes to sound doctrine, we are at a loss. We get tossed to and fro by every wind that comes our way. So I think this is the time, and in fact, the last 1 year with this COVID-19 situation, it's a good time for us in Asia, although it's a difficult time, because suddenly all the busyness is kind of like, you know, is gone, and we got to all the pastors, all the church leaders, it's time for us to go through our doctrine and just build from there. Spend time with God and spend time with the word. And especially for us pastors, we need to really check our doctrine to make sure that we're on the right track.
Well, I mean, just so that you know, I mean, years ago, I had asked you to send me your series on antinomianism because I heard one teaching, and it was one of the most brilliant expositions of antinomianism I have ever heard. And you have a way of communicating that makes it very accessible. So it's very refreshing to hear when you teach, take important and difficult concepts and make them accessible. That's a gift. Talk to me. This is just me. I'm curious. Of all the books in the Bible that you personally enjoy, I have a few that are favorites for me, but what are your favorite books in the Bible?
The four Gospels.
Okay.
The four Gospels. And let me, let me do a pitch right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I think it's unfortunate that for many of us, when we think of Jesus, and especially in the faith charismatic Pentecostal tradition, we often think of Jesus as what he has done on the cross, the finished work of Christ, which is very, very important. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, if that's all that we think about, that Jesus equals the Savior and what he has done 2,000 years ago, we do not focus enough on his continuing ministry, that Jesus is current, he's relevant, not because of what he's done, but more than that, what he's doing and what he will do. Yeah. And so I started as a Jesus preacher. 40 years ago, I started as a Jesus lover, Jesus chaser. And then, you know how it is with church growth, with revival, and all of a sudden we get pulled into all the different things, you know. And for one season, I was very focused on all the prophets in the Old Testament. For another season, I was very focused on what Paul is teaching. Another season, I was very focused on, and they're all good. I mean, we need all 66 books of the Bible. But in the last 10 years, when I've gone through some personal challenges, and all of a sudden there was I sense it's a God thing. There's an awakening deep within me that, Lord Jesus, I want to know you more. So I began to go back and re-study Jesus. And I kid you not, Bishop, I found that the Lord is so current and he's so real that when we talk about holiness, what do you mean holiness? You know, the Pentecostal movement started out of the holiness movement, right? So when we talk about holiness, for many of us, we think it's a series of do's and don'ts. Holiness is a scary word. But when you look in the scripture, holiness is synonymous with Christ-likeness. It means to be like Jesus Christ. And Christ-likeness means that we have his character profile as listed in the fruit of the Spirit. And for us Pentecostal people, we like the gifts of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, nah. But when I see, if I want to be like Jesus, I need to really cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. To abide in Christ means that the fruit of the Spirit must come forth more. His love, his peace, his joy, his long-suffering, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his self-control. And when I look into that and I measure myself to Jesus Christ, I realize that as a leader, I could be more loving. As a leader, I could be more gentle. As a leader, I could be kinder. As an apostle over my movement, I can be more long-suffering. I can walk with greater peace. You know, I mean, all around the world, mental health has become a big issue.
Yep.
You know that, right? Especially in the last 1 year. And for you, Bishop, I know you have a master's degree in psychology.
Yeah.
You are trained in mental wellness. But the truth is, I know a lot of Christian leaders, pastors, church leaders, they don't have inner peace. Yeah. They're not happy. They're just striving all the time. And I think for Pentecostal people, Pentecostal leaders, and we are working so hard and bring the gospel to the whole world, being in the forefront of the ministry. And yet, some of the unhappiest people I know are Pentecostal leaders. And I think if there's ever a time we need to be like Jesus, I think it is now. And so I've been studying the four Gospels a lot in the last 5 years. And you know personally, you know what I've been through. And the last 5 years, I've been just reading and reading and reading. And I realize there are 8 things about Jesus that I'm building my whole life around. The purity of Jesus, the devotion of Jesus, the obedience of Jesus, the humility of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, you know, things like that. And I realized that I need to focus on it. And as I led my people into becoming more like Jesus, I found that we are coming into a whole new dimension of ministry. And that's just my take, my four favorite books, the four Gospels.
That's powerful. You mentioned pastors and the struggles they're going through. There's a number of pastors that listen to the podcast. From your side of the world, looking at, you know, the American church is highly divided right now over many issues. And I think in some ways, this is just me, I look to where you are in the global South, and I say we need to learn from our brothers, and we need to learn from our Asian brothers, our African brothers. If you put your prophetic lenses on and go out 20 years from now, what does Kung He see for the move of God, and where does he see pastors, if they're going to be effective, address, what does he see them, how does he see them changing, and what does he see them doing?
If you ask me, Bishop, I think that for the Pentecostal world, I think that there is a disconnect between what we do, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the missiology, and there's a disconnect, there's a lagging behind in our doctrine and our theology.
Okay, right.
And I feel that that gap needs to close up and catch up, because after all the signs and wonders and miracles, after we build all our mega churches, then what's next?
Yeah.
We do not want to have a big superstructure, but it's empty inside. And the emptiness needs to be filled by sound doctrine, by the word of God. And I feel that, and for the non-Pentecostal side of the body of Christ, they're strong in this, but they are lagging in their actions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the opposite. But I think that right now in my neck of the woods, in my part of the world, as you say, the Gospel South, we are finding that Pentecostal pastors are saying, okay, we need to understand more on the basics like the Trinity. We need to have a clearer understanding of Christology. We need to have a clearer understanding on Calvinism and Arminianism. And you know, for most Pentecostals, most Pentecostals are Armenians.
Exactly.
But we do not know. Yes, but we do not know how to explain.
Right.
How are we going to explain what we believe? You know, and so I think that there is a need right now for those of you listening, Bishop is not paying me a single dime for saying this, but what Bishop is doing is critical. Because faith comes by knowing the word of God, hearing the word of God, and our understanding of the word, of theology, of sound doctrine must match to what we are preaching and what we are doing. It must match up. And if you ask me, I feel also that there is a need of character development and character formation. I think that, when the success of the Pentecostal churches has brought with it a lot of criticism as far as the presentation, the packaging, the lifestyle, and I'm part of that. I'm part of,
yeah, I, me too. I do not, me too.
I do not separate myself from all
neither.
That. Yeah. I'm part of the whole Pentecostal gospel. And right now there is there's a need to review, and it's a good thing. It's a sign of maturity. And that's where, and we often would say, okay, all right. Been there, done that. We experienced the blessings, the prosperity. We experienced the financial breakthrough. We experienced the growth, the success, the accolades. Is that all there is?
Yeah.
To the preaching of the gospel. And as people like you and I, as we age, I think at the same time, at least I speak for myself, been there, done that, have a big church, big ministry, seen the blessings of God. And suddenly I begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. Life is more than all this. All of this life is a preparation for our future ministry in heaven, in the kingdom of God that is yet to be consummated. Have I invested as much of my life to be more like Jesus as I have invested in doing the works of Jesus. And Bishop, like you, I've done a lot. I've seen revival after revival in Taiwan, in China, in Southeast Asia. I have led many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, to Christ. I've seen millions of dollars released into the kingdom of God for the work of the gospel. So we have invested our time. We have worked overtime for the gospel. So right now, we got to ask ourselves, okay, I've done the works of Jesus. Have I become more like Jesus? And sad to say, when I look into my own life, I feel that I need to invest more of my attention, my energy, and my focus to be more like Jesus, you know. I'm a strong leader, and I have said things, done things, expressed things that I'm not particularly proud of, that I don't think Jesus would be happy about. And so I'm a work in progress, and I want to focus more like, okay, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be like him. So how am I growing in my sanctification? How am I growing in my Christ-likeness? How am I growing in my long-suffering, my gentleness, my kindness, things like that?
Okay, so if I prod you, is there a book coming on the 8 characteristics of Jesus that Kong He's going to write so the rest of us can feed on it?
I hope so.
Me too. I think one of many. I think you need to do a lot more writing. I think you have, as I've always told you, God's given you an apostolic sphere. We need to hear your voice. So where does Kong He see himself going in the next 5 years? As you old men, we're not old yet, but, you're younger than me. But I mean, but we do dream dreams. You know, we've seen visions, but we dream dreams. So what are the dreams Kong He has?
I think the work of God, Bishop, will continue. It will keep going. I have many disciples all throughout Asia.
You do?
And the work of God is unceasing. The prayer is unceasing. Round the clock, people are praying. Round the clock, people are witnessing. Even in the midst of the pandemic, we're seeing a lot of people coming to Christ. So the work goes on. But I think for me personally, I've been doing a lot of soul searching, especially in the last 3-4 years. And, 100 years from now, Bishop, a lot of people will forget Kong He. A lot of people will forget. Okay, let me rephrase that. I think 100 years from now, a lot of people will forget City Harvest Church. Like, can you remember what is the name of the church that Luther started? Calvin? Okay, what's the name of the church that... Can you remember before Dr. Cho, 70, 80 years ago, who had the largest church, or what is the name of that church?
Yeah.
The largest church before Dr. Cho was a man called Louis Petros from Sweden.
Yeah.
But I don't think many people even remember what's the name of his church.
No, I remember Louis.
Yeah. So I've been thinking, what is the legacy I could leave behind? And I think of someone like John Calvin. Although I, as an Armenian, obviously I do not agree with Calvinism, but Calvin has done amazing things. I mean, he popularized cultural mandate, which is something that I'm passionate about, bringing the gospel into the marketplace. But when he was 27 years old, he wrote a book called The Institutes of the Christian Religion.
4 institutes.
Yes, and that, to today, impacted the whole world.
Absolutely.
Until today, people are still talking about Luther's writings, his Book of Romans, Justification by Faith. Until today, people are talking about John Wesley's, his writings, right? And for better or for worse, us Pentecostal, we owe a debt to the Wesleyans.
We do.
We do. Yeah. And so I've been thinking that, what can I do to impact the next generation? And I think, like what you have said, I need to sit down and to start writing books And we need to download all that God has shown us to the next generation. But not just books that are for the mass market to sell, just not just motivational books. I mean, none of Calvin's books are motivational.
No, they're chock full of
pretty depressing,
Calvin.
Actually. Yeah. Some of Calvin's books are pretty depressing.
Yeah, they are. They are.
But, you know, when you... I think that we need to really put down... Paul said to Timothy, you got to contend for the gospel. And if there's a time we need to contend for the gospel, it's now. And I think as church leaders and people that God has given us an apostolic anointing and with responsibility over thousands upon thousands of people and hundreds of churches, we have a responsibility to really put down the doctrines that God has given to us, the sound doctrine of the gospel. And that's what I want to do. I want to start writing. And so I'm going to write a lot.
That's wonderful. Well, before we go, would you pray for all of our listeners and just ask God's blessing and grace and whatever the Lord leads? Just pray for us.
Yes, I want to do that. For those of you that are listening right now and watching this podcast, I want you to know that we love you in the West, and you're so precious to God because you are our elder brother. You have done so much for the kingdom. Your books, your tapes, your TV programs have impacted our world, and we are forever grateful. We love America. I think the whole world, the Christians in the world, we love the American church. We pray for the American church. We, not just the American church, we love the United States. All of us dream that one day we can visit the U.S. We all wish that our own cities would be a reflection of the U.S., the freedom, the rule of law, the creativity, the innovation. We love the U.S., and we are always praying for you. And we pray that in these difficult times that you will stand firm for the gospel, keep preaching the word, and keep writing those books and keep blessing the rest of us. So Father, I pray even right now, I pray for the United States. Father, I pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit will sweep through this great nation, and the Holy Spirit will raise up all these mighty churches and make them even stronger and make their voice louder and let them preach the gospel like never before. That the fivefold ministry in the U.S. would rise up even stronger than ever before. The Pentecostal charismatic churches will go throughout the whole world and bring in literally millions and millions of souls into your kingdom and plant those churches in places where your voice is not heard and the word is not preached. Father, I just ask even right now that the goodness of God will continue to increase. That Numbers chapter 6 will become a reality. That the Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will be gracious upon the U.S., upon the Western church. That the Lord will make his face shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, the shalom of God, in every dimension of your life. Father, this is a time where the peace that surpasses all understanding must be in the hearts and minds of all the Christians in the U.S. I pray for Bishop Mark Sharona. I bless you. I pray that your ministry will continue to prosper and increase, and it will touch not only your own city, your own state, your own country, but it will impact the whole world. So Lord, bless the U.S. Bless the West. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.